Defund the police has been a national rallying cry out of weeks of protests for equal rights for Black Americans. In Philadelphia, Mayor Jim Kenney recently scrapped a proposal to increase the police budget by almost $20 million and came out with a plan for some reforms instead.
And then we'll go forward and try to figure out what it is the police's role in our society should be and fund it appropriately.
Critics say this amounts to defunding police, a term that has ignited fury and confusion over exactly what it means.
What does defund the police actually mean? And what visions do Philadelphians have for the police in the future? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why.
My name is Megan Malachi. I'm a lifelong resident of Philadelphia, and I am currently an educator and organizer with Philly Real Justice.
The group is part of the Black Philly Radical Collective, which is calling for abolishing Philadelphia's police department. I spoke to Megan about her organization's vision for public safety in the city. And later, we'll check in with Plan Philly's Catalina Jaramillo, who spoke to North Philly residents about what they think about the idea of defunding the police. So, Megan, recently, the Black Radical Collective, which your organization is part of, demanded that the city of Philadelphia defund the police and, quote, end state violence against Black communities. What did you mean by that?
So when we talk about state violence, we're referring to violence that is authorized by our government. And because the police are an arm of the government, they have the power that is attached to the government to murder us, to abuse us, and all the things that we've been fighting for. And so to answer your question, we want that to stop. And one of the ways we know that we can address this issue is by defunding the police. We are police abolitionists. We believe that the police are fundamentally corrupt. We can trace the history of the police to slave catching. And we don't feel that any organization that begins in such a horrible, violent system of oppression can be reformed. And we see that they can't be reformed through the way they've operated throughout the history of this country. And we also believe that the police are not there to protect and serve, which is their so-called slogans. They are simply there to protect the interests of the elites, particularly the white elites in this country. And so our view is that we need to completely abolish the police and create something that we can hold on to that will assist our people in terms of issues of public safety, protection, all the things that we think that police should be doing, but we know that they're not doing.
If the city abolished the police department, I'm wondering what you think public safety would look like.
Well, I think there's an underlying assumption that the police are actually making our neighborhoods safer, that the police are solving crime. And there's been statistics that have been published in the last 5 years that prove that the police actually aren't solving crime, particularly when it comes to issues of murder. I don't have the statistics right in front of me, but the last time I reviewed them, I believe that the homicide department in Philadelphia had a 20% rate of solving homicides.
By the way, the current homicide clearance rate in Philadelphia is 50%.
And so that really doesn't give me as a citizen that much faith in the police.
But Megan, what if you were, say, like in your bedroom on the second floor of your house and you hear somebody breaking in? And you feel like you're in danger in that moment and you need somebody to help you.
I think that the people who would be helping in that situation would be the people who are specifically trained to deal with those type of violent incidents. And so, again, like I want to be very clear that this issue of abolishing the police is a long-term goal, and that will include, you know, time to train these people. And then a lot of times the situation has already happened when they do come. And so part of the abolitionist framework is creating a society where people don't feel so isolated that they feel like they have to call the police. So if someone is breaking in your home, you should have like a neighbor or people on your block who could be there, maybe not to address the person who's coming into your house, but they should be there to offer support and to call in the network of people who are trained to do this.
You know, under what scenarios that are under policing right now could you see community people intervening?
When I think of homeless people and their interactions with police, most of the time homeless people are having to deal with police because we feel like they're annoying, we feel like they shouldn't be there, and so we call the police mostly because they make us uncomfortable. And so when it comes to policing, I think we need to stop calling the police on homeless people. And so I think, people have mentioned things like connecting homeless folks with housing and other services, but I also think that homelessness is deeply connected with mental illness, and so we would need to be prepared to assist people in that way as well.
You know, Megan, the idea for abolishing the police is being talked about, you know, around the country right now. But why do you think it's a good idea for Philadelphia specifically?
You know, I think that Philly has such a complicated and racist history, and a lot of it involves the police. I think that if we really want to see any true freedom in Philadelphia, particularly for the Black community, abolishing policing just has to happen. And I also think we have to look at the issue of the SOP. If you saw some of the coverage that was going on recently with the protesters and that one police officer, I think his name was Bologna.
First, you see him shove a protester along the parkway, then hit someone in the head. Video of Philadelphia Police Staff Inspector Joseph Bologna committing a crime.
The police have made a conscious choice that they are going to support this police officer who physically harmed and purposely harmed protesters who were committing no crime. And then they gathered in the Northeast to support him, sold t-shirts, being very vocal and proud about protecting police violence, but also protecting their ability to not be held accountable.
Your organization has been advocating for abolishing the police for a long time. And I think that until recently, that was kind of viewed as a fairly radical idea. And now it seems like it's being taken a lot more seriously. Why do you think that shift happened?
I think that having to navigate this global pandemic has given people a broader perspective. And so I know so many people who are starting to question, how is it that, you know, the government has so much money to support corporations, but when the average American is dealing with these issues of job loss and other concerns, and then additionally, they're still seeing Black people being murdered by the police. And so I think for the everyday person, this is all coalesced into creating a sharper critique of the system where the idea of defunding the police and ultimately abolishing them doesn't seem quite so radical anymore. And then I also think that people are starting to realize just how much money has been invested in the police and how so many other areas of our society, such as education and social services, has been reinvested in. People have been in the streets. They are demanding more from their government, and so they're trying to figure out a way to respond to this collective anger that people have.
Well, Megan, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Can I say just one more thing?
Sure.
So as part of the collective who made these demands, we just want to be very clear that we consider these demands an offering to the community. We're not trying to force our views or politics on anyone. And so we're so open to having discussions about where we go from here. And we have plans to bring this document to different neighborhoods in Philadelphia so that we can hear feedback and criticism about the demands and how people think they could possibly impact their neighborhood.
That was Philly Real Justice organizer Megan Malachy. When we come back, what one community thinks.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. WHYY's Plan Philly reporter, Catalina Jaramillo, brought the question of abolishing or defunding the police to residents in Nicetown, Tioga.
This is a low-income community, mostly African-American. It's a tiny community with row homes, kids playing outside, you know. But it's also a community that struggles a lot with unemployment, with poverty, with lack of opportunities, and with crime.
So, Catalina, why did you focus on the Nicetown, Tioga neighborhood in North Philly to talk to people?
Well, Annette, if you remember last year, there was this big shooting that got national attention there.
This began when Philly police narcotics strike teams were serving a warrant at a home on this block, quickly turned into a shootout, officers under fire, the suspect barricaded and armed with a long rifle.
This man named Maurice Hill started shooting, and then the police started shooting back, and it ended up being a 7-hour standoff with a massive police presence and shooting back and forth.
Well, I can't even imagine how that must have been for 7 hours. When you talk to the neighbors, how did they think the police handled that situation?
Most of the people that spoke after that incident said that they were terrified, that they didn't feel that the police were there to protect them or serve them.
My kids are afraid of the police.
I spoke with Sherita Cromwell. She was very active last year after the shooting, and she has 3 kids. And she says the only time they see the police in their neighborhood is when something horrible has happened, or they see the police on TV basically with their elbows or knees on someone.
So my kids wouldn't even know how to approach police officers in the street. Now, maybe that would change if they saw them more in the community in a positive light, but that's just not the case right now.
What does Sherita think about the idea of defunding the police?
She told me she was confused about the word defund, and I think this is something that a lot of people have experienced, because she says she thinks police officers and police in general has a job that she values.
It's a tough job. It's a dangerous job. So I don't want people to feel like when they hear that word defund that we're trying to do anything to make their job harder.
But then she kind of like understands the concept of defunding as basically restructuring.
I like the word reallocation of funds, moving funds around, taking a little bit of funds from one area, moving it to another area within the big picture, trying to support everything.
Instead of funding programs of the police, maybe taking some funds from the police to fund community services that deal with problems that the community have. And basically, if you deal with those kind of like root problems, then you might end up with less crime.
In my community where I live, the schools are low performing. If we bring some of those resources back into the community, back into the city of Philadelphia, I feel like that would help crime decrease and less policing would need to happen, because people would feel like they have exposure and access to other opportunities or better choices.
So did you talk to anybody in the neighborhood who wanted to see the police department abolished entirely?
No. I spoke with community leaders that were not actively calling for the abolishment of the police. I spoke with Eric Marsh. He's an anti-gun violence advocate that works with council person Kendra Brooks. He hesitates about the word abolishing the police, but he understands why some people, based on the history of the police in America, want to completely abolish the police.
I know full well the foundation that the police force in America has been built on, which was, you know, the slave catching and enslavement of Africans. And so I'm not certain if we can afford to keep any of that root without it, again, growing into some type of oppressive system.
He's also for basically dealing with the root causes of crime. And one of the things he mentions is the overabundance of guns in the streets.
It wasn't that long ago, in the 80s and the 90s, that, you know, the gun-obsessed culture escalated and there were more guns available on the streets. And so that was the thinking, that was the rationale behind militarizing police forces, because more guns were available to more American citizens. But I think that that is sort of an eye-for-eye mentality. Unfortunately, it's an escalation rather than a de-escalation.
So he said if there were more control of guns, there were less guns on the street, then the police wouldn't need to be militarized to the point that it is now, and everyone would be more safe.
The type of presence that I would like to see, more cops walking the beat, more cops who are more engaged in just conversation and getting to know the residents, getting to know a particular few square blocks of whatever their patrol might be.
What he's saying is like a lot of issues like mental health, drug abuse, domestic violence that have been kind of like increasingly assigned to the police to deal with because the governments have been taking funds from organizations or services that used to deal with those issues, are straining the police. So if you went back to basically fund those organizations or those services, you would alleviate the police and then the police would have to do what they have to do, but not kind of like dealing with these other problems where they don't have the skills to.
It sounds like people don't want wholesale abolishment of the police department. They just want wholesale restructuring and reform.
We know that there are people who want wholesale abolishment, but the people I spoke with thought that was not completely realistic. That's what John D. Harrell, who's the founder and executive director of the Center for Returning Citizens, told me. I mean, he said he describes himself as a former gangster. He spent 25 years in federal prison, and he says he used to have like a really bad relationship with the police. But then he also says like, abolishing the police sounds not realistic for him.
If my little granddaughter or my little grandson is missing, I'm dialing 911. Two Sundays ago, when I came back to my office and my door was destroyed and my office was looted and in ruins, I dialed 911. My insurance company doesn't want to hear from Black Lives Matter. They want an official police report. That's the reality.
So he's like, we still need the police in some role. But he also says, like, we do need to restructure it and change it. And above all, he said, there needs to be a change of the culture of the police, of the way they behave and the way they think, specifically towards Black and brown communities. Because he was saying, it's not that the policemen don't know how to do their job. He said, it looks like police is doing a correct is doing their job and know how to do their job in wealthier white communities.
The conversation should be, how can we ensure that they do their job equitably across all social levels, racial lines, sexual lines?
So Mayor Kenney originally had proposed a budget increase of $19 million for the police for the next fiscal year. But after the protests mounted, He kind of walked back that proposal. And he says he's no longer increasing the budget for the police. And he's proposed like other changes, like updating the use of force policy and creating this independent civilian oversight board to replace the police advisory commission. So Catalina, do you think there's a chance the police could change into something more like what the residents you spoke to want to see?
You have to remember that Mayor Kenney has increased the police budget by $120 million in the last years. So this $19 million was an extra increase. And that in the perspective of the cuts that had happened in the city, especially in social services, because of COVID-19, and I'm speaking of cuts to libraries, to the complete art department of the city. There's not going to be no pools, right? The parks department also got a lot of cuts. And on the other side, you see like the new headquarters that cost $300 million, right? On the former Enquirer building in Broad Street. The police budget is 1/4 of the city budget. So I think people are really asking the mayor to change the priorities. That's the kind of questions that the community is asking.
Catalina, thanks as always for coming on with us.
Thank you, Annette.
That was Plan Philly reporter Catalina Jaramillo. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Benyakov, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. We had editing help on this episode from Ariella Cohen. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Stay safe and well. We'll talk to you on Thursday.